I think that from talking to high school kids, particularly, they want to work for themselves because they have ideas that they want to, that they feel like they can execute on. They feel like they're, and I don't know if they would say this in this way, but because of technology, they can actually create, they can actually create things that we couldn't, if that makes sense. Yeah, so they're able to build things and create things on their own. And as long as they can figure out how to make a profit, they've got a business just using technology, which we couldn't do 10 years ago.
You are listening to Hooked on Startups, where every week you'll hear from some of the most talented, inspiring, and successful entrepreneurs who share their real life stories, how they overcame challenges and failures, and how they mastered success. Get ready for some of the best business tips, tricks and tactics, and some frank, unscripted discussions. Here's your host, Matthew Sullivan.
On today's Hooked on Startups, I am delighted to have none other than Jeff Booty. Jeff, welcome to Hooked on Startups.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
So let me see if I can read a little bit about Jeff, what you've been up to, and not completely destroy your career in the process. So you're the co-founder of JobSnap, which is the first hiring platform to focus on Gen Z. So we're definitely going to talk about that. But you are a serial entrepreneur. You've been featured in Forbes, HarperCollins, Lean Startup. You're a consultant. You're a speaker. And you're a Gen Z expert. Something like that?
Yes, that's correct.
But the first question is, what exactly is Generation Z?
Yeah, Generation Z are, it's a group, it's actually now the largest group born into this world after millennials. They're the next group. So if you're 22 and under, you're now a part of this group of Gen Z who don't know a world without the computer, family computer, and don't know a world without a cell phone. So, you know, it's been, you know, the family computer has been around since this next generation has been born. So think if you're born in 95, 97, 98, I mean, 99, that's when Gen Z starts. So they're the first group to be born with the computer.
And so you've created JobSnap because there's a particular issue that these generational Gen Z.
I created JobSnap for a few reasons, but I also recognize that this next generation is more comfortable using video technology than any other group, whether it's baby boomers, you know, Gen X, and me as a Gen Y millennial. The Gen Zs, they're on Snapchat, they're on Instagram way more than any other generation as far as using the video part of those tools. And so I recognize that when it comes to employers trying to connect with this group, they're having a hard time for many reasons. One, candidates are on their phones more, so they're more mobile than ever. You know, I remember even for me as a millennial, high school, we had cell phones, but we didn't have smartphones.
Yeah.
Like, smartphone just didn't exist, you know, 11 years ago, 12 years ago. So I think, like, for me, that's now such a big difference because now the World Wide Web can be on your phone, which means kids can research and do things that we just couldn't do with the regular Nokia.
The funny thing is, you're right. But even saying things like you can do things today on your phone that you could never do before. If you say that to someone born 22 years ago, they look at you and go, "What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What is this before stuff?" There is no concept of a world that is not connected.
Yeah, that's it. And I'm thankful that I'm in that middle range where I'm like, I could remember.
Well, the go-between, between the two
I'm
worlds.
In the middle. And now my sister, she's 21. She doesn't really remember a world without it. Because at 21, she can't remember really never not having a family computer or never not having, you know, she was born in 96. And that's when we got our family computer. We had the computer in the house, you know, outside of school. More people in the mid-90s started getting computers in their houses. And so she was born right when we had one. and can't tell the difference.
But what is the real challenge? I mean, because just having the computer there, you know, gives you access to stuff. I mean, but what is the real challenge that young people, I mean, talking, you know, Generation Z, 20, 21, 22, 23 year olds, what is the real problem? Because they're pretty smart. They've been brought up with all this technology, yeah. Access to knowledge that, you know, going back a few years, it's unfeasible the amount of knowledge that they're able to access now.
Yeah.
So you would have thought they'd be ideally suited to the employment market, but what sort of challenges are they facing?
I think some of the challenges they're facing is, and employers are, and the good thing is employers are willing to meet them where they are, right? I think the old form of employment was my way or the highway, right? The boss [S2] Yeah. [S1] Does this and this is how it's done. But since millennials have come into the marketplace, employers have started to realize that the generations growing up in technology, they've had to shift how they attract younger groups from you do what I say versus wait, let's see where you're at. Let's see how you're communicating. Let's see how what your skill set is with this new technology. So I think employers like with Gen Z, they're used to texting, you know, they're not as face-to-face savvy when it comes to just in daily interactions. People will text, you'll see Gen Z I speak at high schools and they'll be in a room all texting, all in their phones, all in the same room. And where employers are really used to, you know, kids who are motivated to come in, you know, come into the office, get the interview, do that kind of face-to-face. And they're realizing that these kids don't have that same motivation to like get in front of them, but they will text, but they will communicate via their, you know, mobile device. And so what I'm trying to bridge is like, can an employer see a candidate, get the pitch, and then text, and then call, and then bring them in? And it sounds awful as I say it that way, but the idea is that these candidates are all on their phones. They're all texting. The motivation is different. They're not out on the streets. Most of these Gen Zers aren't on the streets knocking on doors to find jobs. A lot of them are trying to create, you know, Instagram celebrity, Instagram, you know, social media celebrity, trying to create businesses in different ways. And so companies are now having to figure out, how do I attract some of the same talent and bring them in non-traditional, you know, ways?
Because that's the real challenge, because there's two sides to this coin. The first side is, as a Gen Z potential employee, I'm going to have all sorts of problems getting a job because the person that I want to get a job with doesn't speak my language.
Yep.
But the second thing is, from an employer's perspective, there's a major challenge because you want that talent. You want to be able to tap into these network savvy or these social media savvy people. You want to be able to bring in these young people. Yeah. So it's that chasm, it's that gap. And that's how that's what JobSnap is designed to bridge.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, do you think that there's more, you know, with what you've seen, you say that you speak at a lot of colleges. Do you think there's much more of an entrepreneurial approach to business? Because people have seen millionaires and, you know, overnight Snapchat or Instagram successes. Do you think that's made it difficult on a large scale for people to like the idea of getting a job?
I think so. I think so. I think that I don't think all is lost, because I do speak at an array of schools, from, you know, kids in inner city, kids in affluent neighborhoods, colleges of all sizes. And I would say maybe half want to, you know, start their own business at some point, and then another half wants to go the traditional lawyer, doctor, engineer, firefighter, those type of roles. But I think there are more people. I mean, half is way more than what it was a decade ago, you know. There weren't too many people trying to, the entrepreneurial word wasn't even used in that same way, research shows. So it's like the fact that there are half, when I go out, that are trying to start their own business, it could scare people because, you know, you have more people now trying to create businesses. And where's the workforce going to come from? So,
and again, this whole sort of decentralization of everything. So you've got people that are aware that they can communicate with anybody in the world. They have access to information. They can follow the pathway of other people because it's laid out in all sorts of information that they can access. So the ability to become a millionaire overnight is no longer a secret because you can download a YouTube video. And obviously, you've got to pick the right one. So how do you see this? And then if you layer on what's happening with the blockchain and the decentralization of currency, of the gig economy, are we at the eye of a storm where all of these things that we used to know and love as the fabric of employment, is that all changing?
Yeah, no, I think it is changing. I think I actually had breakfast this weekend with a billionaire who I can't say who he is or what stores he runs, but he was confidential in sharing that, they're downsizing their retail stores and they are now focused on mobile, which he has a goal of increasing his mobile by a certain percentage going into 2018. And the retail market is he believes will transform to almost like, how to describe this, almost like showrooms, where consumers walk in and see products and then buy them online versus because foot traffic is slow. So in a sense, to answer your question in a convoluted way, consumers aren't walking or going to these stores as much. So then businesses may not need to hire as many high turnover employees. And then in turn, these same, again, Gen Zers are the trends that, they are interested in Bitcoin. They are interested in these other markets to, not to get rich quick, but to go a different route, if that's the word I would use. Because I think for them, they don't want to work for someone else. They want to work for themselves. That's like the number one response I get. It's really just wanting to work for themselves and to take time back.
Why do people want to work for themselves?
That is a good question.
I don't mean globally. I'm not asking for what is the meaning of life here, Jeff?
That's a good question.
In the people that you've met, though, because historically people wouldn't say, I want to work for myself. They'd say, I want to go into this profession. I want to be a doctor. I want to be an astronaut.
Yeah. I think that from talking to high school kids, particularly, they want to work for themselves because they have ideas that they want to, that they feel like they can execute on. They feel like they're, and I don't know if they would say this in this way, but because of technology, they can actually create, create things that we couldn't, if that makes sense. Yeah, so they're able to build things and create things on their own. And as long as they can figure out how to make a profit, they've got a business just using technology, which we couldn't do 10 years ago.
And that business is scalable as well, because if it works for one particular group, with the network coverage that we have with the
it's so true.
And again, one of the real challenges that an employer, and by employer it could be a traditional employer, but somebody wants to advertise or communicate or engage the Gen Z community, who are going to be the consumers of the future necessarily. Have you found that there are certain ways and certain things that this community responds to and certain things that they reject?
Yeah, I would say one of our brand, like as a brand, one thing we're trying to be bring awareness to is that we're a social impact brand. So for us, we focus on, we're for everyone, but we really have, we partner with organizations, nonprofits and for-profits that serve underserved groups of youth. And so for us, what we've realized is that this group of Gen Zers are more likely, whether they are privileged or not, to respond positively to JobSnap because of our message to help kids in underserved communities.
There seems to be something going on there.
I'm like, and I'm distracted. This is live.
No, there's not. It's fine. It's, we can. It's, we have a big edit button. It's okay.
Hold on. Let me close this. My dog is like running back and forth.
Oh, no, it's your dog. Oh, fantastic.
I have a dog, and of course, now he wants to disrupt.
Yeah. So you have a disruptive dog. Amazing. Yeah. Yes. Everything is disruptive in the Booty household. Yes.
I'm like, great, awesome. Run right now.
No, that's cool. That's, don't worry. We won't chop this bit out either. You know, this is real life. And listen, and which leads me on to my next question. So, you know, you were talking about JobSnap being a social impact brand. But what I want to ask you as well is communicating to the Gen Z community, as it were, there are some things that they can spot a mile off. In other words, if you're trying to put a message out and you're trying to convince this community that you are this person or you are this brand, they seem to have this ability to see through a fake brand or some sort of non-genuine brand.
Yeah.
Far more than any other group. And is that something that you've come across? Is that something that you've had to sort of build into what you're doing?
Yeah, no, certainly. I think I've had to be the face of the company, which I didn't want to. I think for me, I was originally, you know, when I started this, I wanted JobSnap as a brand to just live on its own. I didn't want to have to be physically visual as a head of the company. I wanted to just run, like, my passion is helping people. So I didn't want to have to be on TV or be on, I just didn't want to have to be the face, if I'm being honest.
And why is that? Because you're the figurehead, you're the visionary.
I know. I think because I wanted the brand, in my opinion, I wanted the brand to speak for itself without me speaking for the brand. There are companies where, like, Tide or Procter & Gamble, like, there are companies where you don't know the CEO because the brand does what it does, which is solve the problem of making sure you have, in the case of Tide, you know, clean detergent. In the case of, there's certain brands where you just don't know the CEO because they're able to get the message across well enough that the CEO isn't as important. Then there are other brands like Apple where you always knew who, you know, you knew who Steve Jobs was because he was such a big impact on making the brand of Apple more relatable in however you want to describe it. And I feel like I have to take the Steve Jobs route with JobSnap so that people know where this vision is coming from, because doing it by itself hasn't been as fruitful with Gen Z. People want to see me. They want to hear me speak. They want to hear my story. They want to know how I started this to make it more relatable to kids trying to, like, get that first job, second job, and connect with employers who are having a hard time connecting with this group. So I've had to take the active route. I wasn't intending to, but I'm totally fine with it. I just, the route that I thought would be like, all right, let the company be the face and let me not take the spotlight. But, you know, you have to do the job that's required, I guess.
Well, you're right. But also, I think that speaks volumes about what this generation, what Gen Z actually need. And it is authenticity. It is, they need to have some idea of who the person is, because despite all this social media, I think what social media is doing is saying, look, I have access to you. So I want to know who you are.
That's it. It's who you are. And I think you hit it on the head there, because they will find out who runs. I was at a Red Bull brought me in a couple months ago to consult with. We did a full 2-day thing with some Gen Z, some bunch of Red Bull executives, covering all types of topics. And one was brands and exactly what you're talking about. These kids, we brought in a kid panel to talk about what they thought of certain brands. And of course, focus on Red Bull, obviously, because Red Bull's, the goal was to make sure that this next Gen Z thinks of Red Bull as a group that, like, cares about the community, that has usefulness as a drink to younger audiences, and to get their opinion about what they think of Red Bull. And it was really interesting, man, to hear these kids talk about and be completely honest, because all the executives, we're talking about the chief marketing officer, like, everyone is in this room while these kids and me and a few other people of experts are in this room and in this
like a think tank or something.
Talk about the kids in their response to like, yeah, Red Bull is sugary, Red Bull is fake sugar, or Red Bull is I'm trying to remember now all the different reasons they gave for either liking it or disliking it, or why they would pick up a Snapple iced tea, why they would pick up, you know, a Gatorade versus a Red Bull. It was really interesting to me how they associated brands and like what they thought of the brand based on who the message that the brand was sending. So it wasn't always a connection to the founder. It was a connection to how their friends thought about it and how it made them feel. And I thought, like, as I'm processing, I was like, whoa, these kids are now, they're associating brands with, yes, the founders of who created it, but also what is the company doing that will get them to pick up the product outside of it, outside of being thirsty? Because in this talk, it was like, well, Red Bull's there, you've got vitamin water, you've got all these options, why wouldn't you pick up Red Bull? And then to have these kids explain why they go for Snapple versus Red Bull and their reasoning for that, it was, it always came down to how it made them feel, what they thought Red Bull stood for, and the, and because of that, why they didn't always choose Red Bull first. And I thought, whoa, this was just interesting. I'm like rambling here, but this.
No, you're not, because it's, I'm just trying to figure out, I mean, what does this point to? Because it's almost as if, you know, the Gen Z generation has been programmed in a different way to the previous generations. So they value things differently, which is critical, because if you're trying to sell something to this group and you're not pressing those buttons, then you're going to end up with a very poor take up. So the traditional marketing, advertising, and engagement methods just aren't working. So what you're saying is, it's almost like there's a new morality code. It's not about, it does this, it's, you know, what does this product do for me? Does it, how does it make me feel? Yeah. Which is this whole, you know, am I connecting to the brand? I mean, I don't understand. I mean, I'm still trying to figure it out, but you know, you're the expert. So I'm going to point the finger back at you now and say, what is the answer here, Jeff?
Yeah, I think the answer is research, which has always proven to be successful. It's continuously working with Gen Z.
But what research involves tons of reading, which as you know, we haven't none of us had time to do. One of the things that have leapt out of the page for you most recently, out of all of these meetings that you have, trying to put your, what are the real sort of distilled points where you've gone, God, I never knew that. I never thought it would be like that.
When it comes to Gen Z?
Yeah, just dealing with this social media enabled generation.
Yeah, no, that's such a good question. I'm like, what are the things that really stand out when I'm thinking of them? I think one of the things that stands out to me is like, there's so many things, but I'm like, what would make most sense here? Let's come back to this, because I'm like, I don't want to go off track, but I...
You know, and what I'm wondering, because you're dealing with people here who are looking for jobs, so you're mm-hmm. you're able to talk to them at a real level where they're saying, look, I want to get a job, I want to be employed, but I just don't feel I'm fitting into this in this environment, because the things that I believe in, the things that are very relevant for me, my boss doesn't share those. Or, you know, so what are they, is that an example of something where there's this sort of disconnect between what the Gen Z generation believes in and what is being offered?
That is an example. I think more so, I think that started happening with millennials, because this is my second company. And my first company really targeted on internships focused on millennials who, the millennials, you know, for the millennials, employers really shifted the work space environment, because we were all about space, and like, we didn't want to be in cubicles. We didn't want to, like, you know, we want to go to work, but we want a cool office. Mm-hmm. That's what millennials really pushed for. And now Gen Z is they're like, cool, the office space is awesome. Companies have shifted in the last 10 years to try and create a cool work culture to really gain the attention of millennials. Gen Z now is like, okay, the office is cool, but what other initiatives are you doing outside of, you know, a great work environment? Like, what are your, how are you giving back? Like, I remember even at the Red Bull talk, one of the girls liked a certain yogurt because they gave like 10% back to, you know, a organization. And it seems so simple, but she liked the yogurt and she bought that yogurt because they gave money back to an organization. And I thought, whoa, I don't even think about that as a millennial. Like, I'm buying things, but I'm not that I don't care. I think that's great, but that's not something I'm conscious of, to like only buy things that are giving back.
Why do you think that is? Is it because that person wants to be able to boast on their Facebook page that I'm supporting something here that's giving back? Is it that they really believe in that? Or is it they just want to be able to show some veneer, or they want to be able to pretend that they're supporting these causes to make them look good amongst their friends, their Facebook friends?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both. I think that, we're in a society now where Gen Z is sharing more than any other generation. So they're, you know, filling up space with just sharing things more visually, Instagram photos, moments, things that they're doing. I don't know if you're on video, Instagram stories, there's Instagram stories, there's Snapchat stories. And so these kids are like now having to fill up more space. I would also say that these kids they're genuinely passionate about wanting to make an impact. And I think it's still early, to be honest. Like, Gen Z has only turned 18 in the last 2 years. So it's still so early, as we are just, you know, I'm speaking as much as I can, talking to kids, just on the ground research. You know, I never want to, you know, for me, it's, I don't want to talk at them. I want to talk with them. So it's like learning from them outside of their parents saying, you know, whatever their parents do as parents, whatever the teachers do. But then as a consultant, asking them different questions that teachers wouldn't ask and that parents wouldn't care to ask, and then learning and taking that information. And I don't know if I feel like it's strong enough to answer that one question.
But if you go back to, so JobSnap itself, which is your business that you founded recently, what is that doing that's different to all of the other ways for people to try and get jobs? And that, so what are you tapping into that's really attractive to the Gen Z employment pool?
For us, it's the brand of working with underserved communities, but then it's also video. So candidates can tell their story through video without, again, you say no one likes to read or research. No one wants to write a paper resume. But every time I talk to these kids, they're like, what do we write on here? You know, it's a problem that has been around forever, but even more so because kids today don't really, they're not writing. You know, they're not writing in the traditional sense. And so it's much easier for them to relate to video, saying, oh, all I have to do is talk for 30 seconds about myself, than it is to say, format this in this way, and hopefully, you know, someone will get back to you based on you don't really have much experience and you've never had a job. Great, go. And that's what the market has always been. It's always catered, the job market is always catered to people with connections and relationships. Because when you're just starting, you don't have any experience, but you're still asked to, you know, provide something.
And you're right, in a traditional resume, is there a section that says, please describe your personality here? So that, how do you get that across on a piece of paper?
On a piece of paper, it's so true. You can say I have a great personality, I have a great smile, but then what if you don't?
How do you get that across? Exactly. So what you're doing with JobSnap is you're delivering the ability for these people to communicate in a way that they're used to and comfortable with.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it.
And now it's up to the employers, I guess, to try and figure out that this is where the real gold is, because for them to be able to mine that particular community, whether it's geographically or demographically dispersed, it's the ability to speak to these people and actually, we get a much better idea of who someone is when we see how their face moves and we pick up the body language. Yeah. And is that the thing that differentiates you from what all these other online sites are doing?
Online sites are doing, that's it. And it's so simple, or at least it seems so simple, yet it's at the same time it's revolutionary because no one's pushing short form video. Like for me, I'm really particular about it being just 30 seconds. Again, no one has time anymore. Again, every second is like a distraction, the phone, a text, something, a Facebook message. And so how do we make sure that the form of video from YouTube, which is infinite almost, you can have a YouTube video for an hour, but no one wants to talk for an hour about your job experience, no one wants, a hiring manager's not going to have time to sit through 100 applicants each hour. They want to quickly make a decision to then bring you in and then take you on to the next step. So for us, it's also the speed, 30 seconds. That's all you have. What can you get across? It's a success of Snapchat. 20 seconds, 10 seconds, you can create a video. You can create a story. Resume has always been a story. It's a story. It's your story, your work story, including your college story. I would almost say it's your life story because you start off with putting where you live, which is a sacred place. Your contact info, you put, where you went to school, grades you got, if you did well for some, and then it's any work experience. So, or what you want to do.
But what you're also doing is you're teaching people to be concise and to be genuine because you can't fake a personality in that 30 seconds.
No, you can't. You really can't. That's it. That's it. You really can't. And at the end of the day, hiring managers, we spend so much time working that people want to be around people that can do the job, but also that they like. And no one really likes to say that, but it's true. People hire people that they end up liking. I've been a recruiter now for almost 10 years, and recruiters will hire the people that they think will fit with the company. Yeah. And a lot of it's personality based. Can this person handle this hiring manager? Can this person?
Well, it's like small tribes, isn't it? Because what you're saying is, my tribe is my workplace. And if I'm in control of who I bring in, it's you're right. And it's funny how you can drill down and these things become evident because it's not just about your capabilities. It's about, can we get on with each other? Do we have that ability to mesh and to communicate? Do we have the chemistry?
Do we have the chemistry to understand each other? Because at the end of the day, it's not going to work if you're crying after every meeting I have because you don't think you can do the task at hand and maybe you're just not up for it, and that's the reality. It's like, can you mesh? Will you not cry or will you not be frustrated? Because I think life's too short to be at a job where you're not meshing and you're angry after every meeting or every day at the end of the day.
And again, coming back to the sort of almost similar question to the one I mentioned earlier, but as you've gone through this job snap process, have you had any moments where you thought, this is what I thought it would be, but actually it's completely different? Like the reaction that people have had to it, did you think it might have been very difficult in some respects, but then did you find that some things were much easier than you expected and some things were much harder?
I think employers are sometimes so busy. So until they see it, then they get it. Like we were talking to, and we're still about to close a deal right now with Sam's Club. And we had a meeting this summer with them, two of their executives, and we did the whole demo. And they were, in the beginning, we're chatting, doing small talk, and they're like, oh, cool. All right, let's see what you got. And then we show them the platform and the videos. And literally one of she's like the research psychologist of Sam, because Sam is just all about innovation and, Walmart. And she, I wish I would have, I wish it was like this to record when the videos came up and the excitement, she had from seeing it versus like, oh yeah, video, cool. And just, we have terms or words that just sound, that we just feel familiar with, that we don't think of it in different ways. And so when she saw the 30-second pitches of candidates, she immediately started placing them in different departments. And it was so cool to just watch them argue about which candidate would go in like the back store, front store, like, oh man, he's got crew. Like, it was.
And do you think, is it because we have this innate ability to make decisions about who we want to hang out with in 3 seconds?
In a few seconds. And it was so cool to just, you know, this has happened many times where, but Sam's is like, it's a bigger company where I'm like, wow, they're doing, I just wish I could have recorded it. Cause it was like from small chat to like video on to like, whoa, I get it. Like, this person would be great here. And it would save me time from interviewing, bring them in, like all this stuff. They're ready to work and they want to work here. And we know exactly where we'd like to start with, you know, place them. And I thought that was so cool. But it's sometimes just getting it in front of employers who've just known a video, the idea of video forever, and them seeing it in a different way, in the short form swipe, that makes it easier for them and the employers.
And these are structured videos. So I guess these people are anticipating that they're seeing some random video of someone skateboarding or something.
Yeah, exactly. These are structured videos of people wanting to work. So it's not skateboard. And I think in the future, who knows, there'll be creative videos of people trying to skateboard and get your attention in some crazy way where you'll be like, I want that kid. But right now they're pretty standard, but I hope that kids will use this technology to like, not just sit in front of a computer like this, but use it to get someone's attention the same way you do on a resume.
And it is. It's all about attention. It is all about how do you get those golden 3 seconds? Mm-hmm. That's not just about jobs. It's everything. So I think that's probably one of the learnings that's coming out, is that the most valuable commodity right now is that 3 seconds.
Yeah.
To stop people swiping up or down.
That's what we're building now, like AI technology to kind of, on the employer side, make sure that one, they're getting candidates that as they're swiping, we build intelligence that helps them, that matches them with candidates they're more likely to pick and less seconds. Cause we still don't know. We're still early to know, like, is it 10 seconds? Is it 9 seconds? Is it 8 seconds? So I still have it at 30, but eventually I'll know, all right, I'll have the messaging so that people uploading will know, look, you really have 3 seconds. Now, I don't want to scare anyone.
Yeah.
What can I do in 3 seconds? It's like, even me, I'm like, if I were to hear that, I'd be like, wow.
But that's body language, isn't it? It's somehow, how do you communicate something magical that gives you that ability to captivate someone for enough to buy your next 3 seconds and then to buy your next 3 seconds. Because what you're doing though is finding stuff that is golden, not just for the employment industry, but if you're tapping into the psyche of the Gen Z community, then it makes it so much easier to unlock other things. And so the information and the data that you're going to be amassing will be very valuable to advertisers for products, services across the board.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I think, you know, I focus on my vision ultimately, but there's so many other verticals that people are, like, you just described some where I'm like, yeah, there's just so much other stuff that will come out of this that I can't focus on that, but I'm aware of where this can go and how, you know, we'll continue to like be a useful resource and, you know, be able to monetize off of the things that we've, you know, created as we, you know, as we push forward.
How big do you want JobSnap to get in the next 3 years?
Well, I just had a call yesterday with someone who wants to license us in Australia, who wants another company to buy the licensing for Australia. And I was just like, licensing. He was like, yeah, wouldn't you want to consider? I'm like, listen, we're still in Los Angeles. But it made me think like, damn, like this is crazy that I can potentially start licensing or, looking at other markets that has these underserved, but youth that want to work, that's a part of this generation that has access to phones, and is capable, but the opportunities aren't reaching them because of algorithms in the traditional models. There's so much potential. And the more people I talk to that see my vision and make it bigger for me, I'm like, oh yeah, that's an option. So I'm like, in 3 years, honestly, I'm like, I've always thought of going to Europe. I've always thought of going to Africa.
Yeah.
I've always thought of it being a global marketplace, and that's the bigger vision. But I also don't like to get carried away with like, we're going to be around the world. I'm like, all right, let's get it right here. And
yeah, but it's a nice feeling. But this isn't your first rodeo, though, is it?
No, it's not. I'm like, no, it's not. So I know what it takes. It takes so much. But it takes people believing in it and people seeing the opportunity, people using it and liking it, and then wanting spreading it. You know, that's like so many different factors.
But it's your vision, though. So this was, so when was the moment then you thought, hang on, there's a business here? When did you, was it a, what was that aha moment that you thought, hang on, it's because JobSnap is such a great name as well.
Thank you. It took a while. You know, it took a few months to come up with the name. Definitely, because there's so many sites that have existed and for decades of just job boards. And so really trying to not just think of a name that people would get and know what our market is, but also that a Gen Z would get. So I was really trying to play off of Snapchat, which is the number one and fastest growing social media platform. And, you know, my vision, part of my vision was not just to go global, but then to get purchased by Snapchat because of the name. I intentionally wanted to be on their radar, which we are. And I just lost your question.
No. It was really, and your aha moment. So you came up with a name, which was JobSnap. And so my question was, how long or how did you come up with this idea? That what was that moment of discovery when you thought, hang on, there's something in delivering 30-second videos. That's the differentiator.
That's such a good question. The aha moment probably came from Tinder.
JobSnap is you know, Snapchat meets Tinder for employers.
It came from Tinder because I thought, being a recruiter, being in the market already, if there was an aha moment, I thought, well, Tinder is cool and it solves a problem for dating, but what if there was video? Like, what if there was video to the swipe? Like, what if we could add video so that you could see more than just a date, a potential date's just photo? Like, the photo is still 1980s. But now they've added a swipe, which I think is awesome, but it doesn't go far enough to save me even more time if I'm looking for a mate. Like, I want to hear what you sound like. Like, if I want to hear your voice, I want to, again, all the body language, because I'm now on this date and I'm like, oh, like, you know, this is not what I thought. And so the photos, the aha moment was really pushing technology and just having a vision of like video swiping. People thought I was crazy, but people also thought it was genius, and it takes so much more than an idea. So just executing on that, like, you know, I've been fortunate to actually meet the CEO of Tinder, Sean Rad, and I shared my vision. So I guess if I'm being honest, aha was the first person we thought of was getting in front of him. One of my advisors and investors was like, just share this with Sean. Like, you know, I just hear what he thinks. And I shared it with him and he was like, dude, this is crazy. Like, I didn't even think of this. Like, this is so cool. And so when I shared that with him, I was like, partly fearful, because then I thought, oh, he could just do this right away. Then I realized, no, he can't, because it takes so much. It takes so much more than people think when you have a vision of like, I want it to be video and I want it to swipe, than just switching a button. And especially for him, because he's got a board and he's got a team and governance, and it's so hard to like just switch a product over, that that fear quickly left. And I thought, I'm just going to keep pushing video technology, because it's not out there. It's out there in long form, like Skype and, you know, Zoom. Yeah. But how do we get it to short, and how do we get it to be efficient in the workforce?
I think that the fact that you shared, I mean, that's a major issue that entrepreneurs have, where they think, I've got this great idea, shh, don't tell anybody. The idea dies with them. But the fact that you actually went to your potential biggest competitor.
He could have been.
And I guess, and what I found with most of these people is they go, you know, Jeff, that's a brilliant idea. Have you thought of this? Have you thought of that? Yeah. Because is that what happened with you?
That's what happened. Sean literally was just like, I think this is great. I'm going to give you the best advice I can give you. Execute. He's like, don't give up. Keep pushing. Like, that's what's going to separate you. Trust me. If you can execute on this, it'll take you much further than just the idea. And I tell him all the time, I'm like, that advice of just do you think execute? You're like, yeah, of course I can get it done. But there's so, as an entrepreneur, there's so many obstacles. You're like, I'm raising capital. I'm dealing with advisors. I'm dealing with clients, you know, because we're business in Canada. I'm dealing with my CTO and co-founder who's building the technology and managing the tech team. And so there's not like this, it's not a traditional business anymore. At least technology isn't, where it's like, all right, I sell one cookie at a time and I'll grow my business. This is a whole nother beast. It's just managing and ensure people have your vision and bringing it to life, which is why I credit Steve Jobs for being a visionary, because you just have the idea and it gets someone technical to actually execute. Building that and designing that is so difficult.
It comes down to vision, though. I think the fact that you wanted to sort of be in the background, I think that you've got this vision. So I think
I appreciate that. I know now you're bringing that up. I know, I was like, even one of my business partners like, Booty, you have to be the face. And I was like, no, fighting it. I'm like, I don't want to be the face. But here we are. I'm the face. It took me a while to get to that place, but.
Because you've got, that's the thing. You've got the understanding. You've got that vision. You've got that magic. You've been in front of these people. You've showed it to the great and the good and you're building it. So that's, you're not going to hide in the spotlight in the background anymore. So,
that's it. Not anymore. Not after this now. I'm like off to the shooting star now, you know?
Well, this, I guess is the, you know, the, I wouldn't say that this platform is going to launch you, but.
I'm putting good vibes out there.
That's the thing, you know, plugging yourself into the universe is a good thing generally.
I completely agree, man.
I've got some other questions for you, Nan.
All right.
Well, you know, moving off from the universe, I have my fabulous, it's time for my questionnaire.
Okay.
I mean, we've talked about Generation Z and swiping and you having breakfasts with millionaires and billionaires and stuff. So, okay. Let's find out what's really under the skin of Jeff Booty here. So, my question that I borrowed from James Lipton, and I say this every time because I'm just don't want to get a letter from his lawyers.
Oh, that's good. That's like your disclosure.
Yeah. So this is not my questionnaire, and I think he borrowed it from someone else. So, you know, all questionnaires are borrowed. But my first question is, what is your favorite word?
My favorite word is probably content.
And what is your least favorite word?
Ooh, my least favorite word is can't. when someone says I can't or impossible, maybe impossible. Yeah. Cause it's the negative words that I've heard people like, oh, it's impossible. Or this is, I can't do it. It's really afraid, but impossible might be it. And I hate the word impossible.
No, you're right. I mean, there are so many people that have the same thing. So there is the Steve Jobs in you, the fact that everything is possible.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Oh God.
I didn't think
about it that way. It's hilarious. Yeah.
Third question. What are you most excited about right now?
Man, I am most excited about helping. We just partnered with Aldo, and they have a line called Call It Tea. And our goal is to get them 100 kids this fourth quarter from our partnerships with underserved. So I'm super excited about that. That's overwhelming me right now. But yeah, I'm super excited about reaching the goal of 100 kids, youth, jobs by December. With just them as a partner. So they're recognizing there's a huge issue and they're supporting us to, to close this gap. So I'm excited about that.
Brilliant. And what turns you off right now?
Ooh, what turns me off? Man, what turns me off at this very moment, and it's because it's very political, but just the divisiveness of our country. I think, you know, unfortunately, the incidents of yesterday is still you know.
I know. Yeah.
Across the U.S. with the Vegas. So I think just right now, I'm just like, how do we as a country recognize some of our flaws and do some deep soul searching and say, hey, we've got issues. And one is gun violence. And how do we make sure that gun violence is protected the same way we try to protect abortion and other issues? So that's relevant right now. Cause I'm just like, how can we make this gotta be something. Don't say it's impossible.
No, you're right. No, something. I mean, and that's, I'm still reeling myself. I just feel a different person than I was before.
It has to be some way. Cause there's many other ways to solve issues. And this one is a tangible object that we put in the hands of people. It's got to be something. It's got to be something.
So. You're right. So my next question, what sound or noise do you love?
What sound or noise do I love? Water. I love the sound of water. I love the sound of like a good waterfall or a friend of mine has a spa in West Hollywood, and just Sunday I was sitting out in this courtyard and this little fountain just dripping with water because it's like a boutique spa. But the water has such an impact of just calming you. Like I had such a stressful day and it was like just sitting there for a few minutes and just listening to running water. It's so simple, but it does something to you. I don't know, to me at least.
They're amazing. And what sound or noise do you hate?
Oh my. As much as I love my dog, I hate when he barks. I hate when a neighborhood starts to bark. I'm like, I know that's how they communicate, but I'm like, no, especially if I'm on a call.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
I'm like, not now.
So what is your favorite curse word?
My favorite curse word might be fuck.
Do you know, I think you're not alone there.
Yeah. I say it when I don't intend to. I'm like, fuck. And then I catch myself. It just comes out. Yeah.
And my next question is, what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
That's a good one. Yes. I would like to attempt. I think one day I'll be a singer.
Oh, brilliant. Amazing.
I think one day I'll get on stage and just sing stuff.
I can't wait for that. And what profession would you not like to attempt?
Ooh. Yeah, I never wanted to. I know my mom always wants me to be a pastor, but I have no desire to preach. So I like to be in the church as a pastor. I'm always like, nah, I've never been called to. I've never felt like I should be a pastor. My mom keeps trying to tell me that's what my calling.
Could be the line for your first song, which is, "My mother always wanted me to be a pastor, but I have no desire to preach."
I like that.
That's your first song. You just got to fill in the rest.
I know. Yeah. Good luck. I'm like, all right, I'll do that. I'll put that in my journal.
Maybe that could be a competition, you know, fill in the rest, a crowdsourced song. How about that?
Yeah, that definitely sounds cool. Although now the crowdsourcing, on Sunday I went to this talk where people are now doing AI for recording and, you know, digital.
Yes.
You know this? You probably already know this.
No, carry on.
No, I've just learned this Sunday, an expert in this field was saying how she, her partner is now in a bot who helps her create sounds that people are more likely to like.
There's a whole science behind that. So funny enough, one of the guys I interviewed, the company's called Focus at Will. And what they do is they scientifically analyze what parts of your brain light up depending on, it's a whole science. It's fascinating.
It's scary and exciting. It's scary and exciting.
No, so my last question, Jeff, is if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
What would I like to hear God say? I would like to hear God say, because I believe in the soul, so I would like to know that my soul, something along the lines of like, I'm like, what would I have said right now? Like,
by the way, for those of you listening on the podcast, Jeff is looking up towards the sky for inspiration.
I know. I'm like, what would I want God to say? I think I want him to say that, you know, my soul did its calling. Because I do believe we all have a soul and we're all intended to do things on earth, and it guides us at times. And so I'd want to know that one of the things I think about, am I doing what I'm meant to do? Not many people think that. They just go and live and not always are conscious of that being. So
that is you're so right. I think that is a whole new conversation, but you're absolutely right. You know,
that's what I want. Yeah. Hey, that was a deep question at the end there.
Yeah, that's what I like to finish with, a bit of a bang. So how do people get hold of you? How do they find out more about what you're doing with JobSnap? And how do they have breakfast with you and your billionaire friends? Well, and then go on, because it's so stressful to spend the rest of the afternoon in West Hollywood in a spa.
Yeah.
I do that.
I love it. No, trust me, my life is really humble. You can reach out to me online, JobSnap. JobSnap.co, or you can email me directly, JB. I believe anyone's reachable. So whether I give this to you or not, you can figure it out. I do it all the time. So it's JB@JobSnap.co. And yeah, shoot me an email. Happy to hear your thoughts. Happy to collaborate, and happy to, you know, hire. Always looking to hire people.
Well, that's fantastic. Jeff, thank you so much for being such a brilliant guest on the show. And I really look forward to staying in touch and following the progress of JobSnap.
Thank you. I really appreciate it as well. It's just fun.